we're gonna spend one more day, maybe, all on this thing about imaginations. And so we're gonna look at several of them that we didn't talk about yet, and then hopefully it'll be the last day. On 1 Chronicles 28, it's David, King David, knows that his son is the one that's going to build the temple. And so this is the exhortation to him, but it's also to us, because we are now the temple of God. And so it's this is David speaking now in chapter 28, verse 5. Got it? You're not going there.
Oh man, no, I was just saying the imagination of your heart is like everything that man does.
That's right.
Your entire life, and that is the imagination of your being, and you walk in it because you learn, you practice, you give everything to it, and then you're told not to do it.
Well, the only reason you do it is because of the fall.
Yeah, you don't have a choice, really. To survive, you create and build. But it's all out of the flesh.
But it's constant. I mean, there's hundreds of scriptures not to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference between a man and a beast, if you will. Or a believer and a non-believer.
Yeah, this made sense to me because in this talking about the last few days, I'm trying to pick out incidents. Does it happen here? Or does it happen here? Or am I doing it now? And, you know, it's no, you do it all the time.
All right, that's why the mind of Christ is the solution. It's a total and complete ignoring of whatever goes on in this beast.
I just flashed back to a convocation at Austin College back in 1977 where you were talking about subliminals and how the only protection was to have the mind of Christ. And I don't think anybody got it, but anyway.
I can't believe you remembered that.
Yeah.
All right, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 5. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. This is David talking. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that he may possess this good land, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And then this is the anointing, if you will, or the call. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord hath searched all the hearts and understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found. He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for a sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And you have to understand that in the same context, the Lord has chosen you to be the house. And so it becomes critical that you see, just as Gary just said about that all that our minds do is this, the imaginations of the heart.
Yeah.
And we saw over the last few days, in every place that's talked about, it's evil. So, this is why the first words of the disciple to the disciples were, abandon yourself. And that's like, my God, that's the only self I know. How can I abandon it? How can I repent until I know that Jesus Christ is in me, not in some faraway place, then and only then can I abandon myself to him, or even to repent. Remember the, you know, this in 2 Corinthians 13, it's, examine yourself, know you not your own self, prove to your own self that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. And one that's reprobate is one that's incapable of godly repentance. And it makes sense, because if you don't know that Christ is in you, then you can never have an experience godly repentance, because you'd be abandoning it to nothing. Does that make sense? And the only way you know that he's in you you wait on him. You don't lean on your own arm of understanding for anything, but in everything you wait only on him. You may lose everything, but that's meaningless to, once you're in that position. Maybe you'll even lose this ice machine and the cell phone. Anyway, Proverbs 6, and this word, by the way, is the one in First Chronicles. It's the only used here. It's not used anywhere else, and it's let me find it again, because I got off on a tangent.
Can I interject one little comment? Just a little bit. When you're talking to go about being evil, I don't think people think of their entire self being evil. You know, that evil's got such a connotation that you don't associate with yourself as evil, because evil is killing or kicking. Taking old people's money or whatever. So to say you're, unless you can get a grip on what that means within you, that you are evil, or you are self-seeking in every way,
yeah,
or you don't really give a damn about any but yourself, once it's seen that way, then the evil starts fitting.
Well, it's interesting here, this word that we just read for is not used elsewhere for this. It's yatzer, the phonetic in Hebrew is yatzer, yatser. And it's used let's go over it again. And thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. The Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. And the word that's pronounced imaginations there, and of the thoughts, it's not a thought, it's a graven image. And that's what makes your thoughts so evil, is that they become ways of escaping the cross. But herein, and this is to Solomon and to you, if you understand you are the temple, those thoughts produce the graven image. And that's what you worship, that graven image, because you have no choice. I mean, because you've made it, and you've tried your best to get it, so you've now got another graven image, another idol. And it just goes on and on and on, and it's like we're swimming in it, so we can't see it. Amen? All right. Now the word that we're going to use in the next few is makashara. M-A-K-H-A-S-H-A-R-A, for those of you that are taking notes. And it's in Proverbs 6, so let's go there. Now this one is plans, thoughts, inventions. Proverbs 6. We're going to read 16 through 19. These are the seven deadly sins, according to Proverbs. In verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, a heart that deviseth a wicked imagination. Well, all the imaginations are wicked. I mean, the wicked was added by a translator. So it's as we've seen, every time this word is used, it's wicked, evil. And so here he just it really is the wicked imaginations is this one word, makashara. All right, now two in Lamentations. Go to Lamentations. Remember, it's right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 3. Verse 59. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. Now, this is who? This is Jeremiah speaking, lamenting. He is a prophet, and we saw yesterday how often that wicked imagination is used in Jeremiah more than any other book. Now here we have, he's lamenting. Somehow he escaped. Well, we don't know how.
Escaped what?
Jeremiah. Escaped the
dungeon?
The pit.
Hmm?
The pit.
I don't remember, but the Lamentations is talking about all of this terrible, terrible things that we can't even imagine. That women eating the flesh of their children, and you know, going on and on and on. But anyway, we're going to spend some time in the New Testament now. And imaginations in the New Testament is dialogis, D-E-A-L-O-G-E-S, dialogismos, M-O-S in the end. It's thought, inward reasoning, deliberations. Let's look at one in Mark. Mark 15. No, let's go, never mind. Matthew 7, over there first. Well, let's start in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now what's the logimos word there? Anybody? In verse 21. No, never mind. Forget that. I'm not doing well. Go to Matthew 15.
That passage answers the question that one of us asked yesterday about can't an abandoned mind do something good?
Yeah.
That pretty much sealed it.
Matthew 15. This is the thing. Never mind. Let's forget Matthew. It's in Matthew 15, verse 19. But I want to do the Mark portion because it's the same, but it's better stated in Mark. Mark 7. Start in verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from within, without entering into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into the heart, his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out to the draught, and purging all meats or foods. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these come from within and defile the man. Now, the question is, are there any thoughts that aren't evil? No, because they come from the evil one. That's why the Lord's Prayer is, deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not inwardly for any reason, but deliver us from the evil one. Now again, we've got to go through this again, because you can't repent of thinking until you know thinking is evil. Now, that doesn't make sense. I mean, how can you, you know, it's, you can't repent of giving breath to the world until you know that the world is not worthy of giving any importance to. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love is the verb there. It's not agape, it's agapeo. It's a common word in Greek language, and it means giving importance to something. If you give importance to anything in the world, well, I'm not giving it importance, no, if you even give it any address, any import, if you rank, the ranking is the evil. That's where you can see clearly how evil it is, because you rank the things in the world. Well, all of it's crap, but you can't repent of it until you know it's all crap. So the purpose of the mind is to find out that everything is vanity, emptiness, nothingness. Puff of smoke. You can't do that without using your mind. You can't find out it's useless until you use your mind for it to be useless. Capisce?
I'm hearing something a little different, and that your mind is like a tool. And that tool, in this case right here, is used as an instrument of evaluation. And I say that because as you were reading the stuff, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. While you're reading, my tool up here was evaluating my being and saying, well, let me see, I don't steal. I haven't stole lately anyway. I haven't done adultery, not, you know, maybe a thought or two, and I haven't fornicated too much, and I haven't killed anybody really. So this tool is evaluating all this, trying to find some place where I'm not, all the places I'm not evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then when I re-examine the first level of considerations, I go deeper and see that I'm guilty of all this stuff. And so in that context, thinking, the mind is fulfilling its purpose maybe in discovery of,
you know, if you push it out,
yeah,
far enough, rather than just, you know, right here.
Right.
I haven't killed anybody.
I know somebody did kill me. You know, so there's all this protective.
Not in prison yet.
Yeah.
Well, it's back to knowing that you're the Antichrist. You're the instead of Christ. And there's nothing of value that can come from the instead of Christ, except to find out that you're the instead of Christ. We hear, when you know, I can remember the first time I ever taught on that you were the Antichrist. It was the Third World War.
Oh, he's lost it now.
Huh?
Oh, he's lost it now.
Yeah, I mean, that it was really a deal.
Yeah. Personal.
But if you know that, not just know it philosophically, if you know that you're the instead of Christ, then how can you use again that? You think you're going to tame the Antichrist? Well, I need him for what I'm doing. Well, then say that, as we've said so often. Say it, Father, I don't know what else to do. But come from the lowest seat. Don't justify using this evil one. If you say, I don't understand it, that's fine. I don't agree, that's fine. But you've got to push it to the edge of the universe. We're not going to finish this today, so that's a good place to stop. Anybody have any other responses? We've spent a lot of time in the imaginations of your heart and now on just thought, which is the same thing. Its purpose is so that we can see something different than we see. So that you can understand that you can't learn, or you can't gain the kingdom of God for you. You can't understand the mysteries of God by using that which is by definition defiled. You can only use it to repent. If you don't understand something, you don't find out by study. You find out by repentance. Now, again, the Bereans were commended because they were using their mind to try to figure out whether what Paul had been telling them was true. And then they found out was true, and then their only response can be repentance. Not continuing on in that which you now know comes from the evil one. And if you don't believe that it comes, if that your mind is the evil one, then, you know, then I don't know. You've got to... Maybe I'm not explaining it well enough. Maybe you don't know yet that it is. And that's fine. But push it, push it, push it to the edge, to the cliff. You know, I used to say often, your mind has never been your friend. It seems like it is momentarily when you get something with it. But then, bam, it's right back to being an accuser of the brethren. You didn't do it right. You didn't deserve it, whatever it is. But it can never, ever, ever be at rest. At 666, it can never reach 777. And that's really what everybody wants, is peace of mind. Well, the way you get peace of mind is by ignoring the son of a bitch. All right, that's enough. Anybody? Response?
One last thing. It's like the devil is, the world has been given over to him, and he's the prince and the power of the air.
Right, but he's defeated.
That's not where I'm going. Let me finish.
All right.
Get your hands off of that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking, where does all the input of the mind come from? You know, you're sitting around, all of a sudden you get it, this explosive imagination comes up, you know. And it's like, I think that's part of how this whole
But Satan was defeated at the cross. All he's got left are his minions, which are the people. Because they still have the mind of the fall. The only way you have the mind of Christ is if you ignore the mind of the fall, the mind of the evil one. It's one or the other. It's not both. All right, take it, big guy.